Hello and welcome to The Undermined, a podcast about brute war AI development. My name is Shonko, your host from makingcomputerdothings.com. Let us begin. Welcome to The Undermined podcast, episode 28. My guests this week are Ankh-Mardor, welcome back.
Hello.
Haupen, welcome back.
Hi, thanks for having me again.
And Litabot, aka Martin Royakers, also welcome back.
Yeah, thanks for being here.
And we had a few recordings now, so more and more guests are returning guests, which I'm very grateful for. And since I switched to a bi-weekly recording, because of reasons, there are more topics to cover maybe. First of all, what have you been up to? Question to each and every one of you. Let's start with Lita because you were here quite a while ago. So what you've been up to?
Besides the bot that I'm working on, which is currently going for like the 1.1.1 build, I'm also working on a bot API for the game from Paradox Interactive. You might know it as Europa Universalis, but also doing Hearts of Iron 4. Maybe any of you play this or know this game?
Hearts of Iron I heard about, but if you give us some links, I can put it in, put those in the podcast link.
It's still very, very alpha, still early stages. So nothing yet to publish.
I mean, just of the games themselves. So the people who are unfamiliar with them can know what we are actually talking about.
Well, you can find them if you like search them online. You can just type in Hearts of Iron or Europa Universalis and you'll find them easily.
Yeah, okay. That's fair. I mean, I meant the links to the AI as well, but as you said, that's not in a presentable state maybe. What kind of machine learning were you coding up?
I was trying to do genetic programming for micromanagement, and although it did work somewhat, as in like it was able to figure out the hit and run strategies and a little bit about unit placement, how exactly it should relate to the enemy, but nothing really like extraordinary. Nothing that could really outperform anything that you can just code yourself. So that was a bit of a problem.
You can delve into the technical details if you want. I think this is the audience that appreciates that a lot.
Yeah, well, you can find a bit of an earlier version about it on the GitHub. My leaderboard has a research subfolder. And you can find a little bit about how exactly it works there. It's not as like I've changed some things around a bit, but you can find the general gist of it over there in my GitHub page, the research folder, if you want to know like the more specific details. So that's, yeah, if you're really into that, then you can look over there.
Sorry, I'd be curious how you got the genetic algorithm to handle the units. Did you gave it the API commands directly, or did you interpret it somehow, or?
Well, what I did was essentially I gave the genetic algorithm itself a bunch of options, because with genetic programming, what essentially I'm trying to do is trying to create this if this then that statements, but then like thousands of them. So you've got a little bit more higher level statements like attack the nearest unit or attack the unit with the highest value or treat. Or heal, like you give it a slightly higher level command structure to reduce the amount of things it has to learn.
Yeah, because I had considered creating a genetic algorithm myself, and I was curious as whether or not to add things like the higher level stuff, like the distance between two units, such that you could just hand it two units and it would return a distance value that could be used in some other part. I don't know if you combined like multiple genes into create a single sub-algorithm that could be used, like combining a scaling factor with a distance in order to with a cutoff, so it could genetically put those pieces together in order to create its own cutoff sequence for a distance-based algorithm.
That was kind of like that. It was a little bit more higher level because you want to reduce the amount of possibilities that the genetic algorithm can that the genetic algorithm can possibly generate, because well, you want to reduce the total amount of processing power that you need. But even with that, I think I didn't go like high level enough, or perhaps I simply need more processing power, because I already figured out that it's going to take quite a while with the processing power that I have. But it turns out that even if you let it run for quite a while, it's still not really enough. You really need quite a lot of processing power, even for just the micromanagement part of StarCraft, to really make it worthwhile.
You must build additional pylons.
Yeah, that could work. So.
That's kind of disappointing. I was kind of hoping that would work out for unit micro.
Well, the thing is, if you're not very skilled at the game, like you don't know much about the game, but you know a lot about machine learning, you could do something like that, and then you will get pretty decent micro, like hit and run, but also like a little bit about unit positioning. Like you will get some decent results, but the thing is that somebody like me who knows the thing about StarCraft already knows those things beforehand and has already programmed most of them in this bot. Now, once it aren't there, I can much easier programming myself than having to wait for the genetic programming algorithm to finish getting something good. So the thing is that if you're like not very good at the game, you could use something like this to help you. But if you already kind of know about the game and you know the kind of heuristics that would work, it doesn't really improve things.
Yeah, but as a programming exercise is great.
Yeah, if you want to like get yourself some machine learning added to your bot and you're not very good, otherwise it's StarCraft itself. It would be a useful exercise, yeah.
All right, with that being discussed, how you're the next on my list, what you've been up to lately?
So there are two things. One thing, so we have the Bazel ladder, and if you click each individual bot, there's a top 30 opponents that your bot struggles with. So I'm just trying to refine or branch off some of my builds to take care of some sort of the weakest spots of my bot. For example, my bot does Bunker Rush, but because it's a very well, somewhat risky build, for example, versus nine pool, or yeah, and previously it just lost to the nine pool, no matter what the micro level the opponent has, because it's just strictly a build order loss. But now I've added reactions, and yeah, just trying to, because there's still something you can do, even if your build order is inferior to your opponent's. Yeah, that's one example or one aspect of what I've been up to lately. And the second thing I've been up to is the build order optimization. I wrote a very simple programming R to sort of simulate the game. For example, it takes 14 seconds. For example, takes 14, I don't know how long, but 14 seconds to train an SCV and so on and so forth. And my objective, for example, is to get four Marines out as fast as possible. So how do I progress? Do I train one SCV and build a barracks, or do I train two SCVs? So I wrote this little program to sort of solve this optimization problem. That's what I've been up to lately.
Sounds nice. Yeah, well, I like that approach that you actively, or more like reactively, trying to eliminate gaps in your bot. And having played against your bot, it's quite advanced now.
And also it's well, it just has a lot of variety built into it. It has five builds for each matchup, and I think in complexity wise, it's sort of five times more complex than Ironbot. But on the other hand, I also would like to make sure that each build is at least decent enough. I mean, quantity is not quality, not always true. So I like to make sure every build is strong on their own.
Yeah, it's like more complex does not mean more effective.
Exactly, yes.
And I tried to bunker rush your bot and failed hilariously. Then again, I'm not a very good player.
So if you did this like a year ago, then my bot will fail probably, because I the reaction to build to bunker rush I only added recently, very recently. I think it's against a, I think it's resulted from a loss versus Purple Spirit, where Purple Spirit bunker rushed me. It hilariously built a bunker just right beside my command center, and my bot did nothing to it. So yeah, the you will know the result after it had the bunker up. Yeah.
I feel most bots are getting quite good at making tactical level decisions when to engage, what to attack, and such, but at a strategic level, they lack a lot of depth. I mean, like a small force near your worker line that is not attacking, that should be a priority. And I realize how hard it is to evaluate something like that, but maybe this should be seen as a positive thing because, as I said, at the tactical level, bots are getting quite good. So that means there are actually new, harder challenges that must be solved. How do you feel about that? And that's not just a question to you, how.
I guess I'll start. So I think it is indeed a complex question. On one end, we would like to solve these tactical challenges. For example, allow me to use the bunker rush example again. So yes, you if I were a human, if a human were to play this game, he probably would send two SCVs. Well, as a Terran, he probably would send two workers to kill the SCV, which is building the bunker, and send some other forces to destroy the bunker, which is not completed. But doing so might cause other problems. For example, if what if a bunker, what if an opponent just it fakes the bunker rush. It just, oh, send a SCV, build a bunker and left. Then you probably overreact because you put so many workers to take care of that bunker in your base. And doing so, you probably lost, a lot of mining time, which is crucial in the early stages of the game. So yeah, these days I'll admit I'm still not good at solving these challenges. So I try to, my approach is that I try to be precise about the problem as much as possible, because otherwise I could probably end up overcompensating the problem, or having my bot overreact to the situation. Yeah, that's my two cents. I don't have too good of a approach to the challenges.
Are you saying the bots are easily bamboozled?
I think most time it is. I would say I would agree to this statement. For example, I think the current version of Iron, when it sees a bunker at its main, its workers just stop doing, stop mining at least at first, and then they circle around, but they effectively were doing nothing. So it's just they're just very puzzled at what to do, and I think they were stuck transitioning from behaviors. We want to guard, but at the same time we. In the same time, we also like to mine minerals, mine gas, but hey, there's a bunker. So what do we do? So I can just think of a lot of examples that where the bots get bamboozled.
I wonder what is the unit of measure for bamboozability. Is it mega potato, maybe?
Well, I think it should be a case by case basis. I think, you know, a bot is not bamboozled to every pressure the opponent exerts. It's, I think, for many bots, they're just weak to certain tactics or certain things that they're not expecting. So, if it's not programmed, they just get bamboozled, and it's just the preparedness to different tactics, I would say.
Adaptability maybe is a better word here, and that's a really hard thing to program. And congratulations for responding with actual great answers to my completely silly questions.
No worries.
So, but this is what is this show about sometimes. So, let's get over to Ankh-Mardor. What you've been up to lately? What is in the works for you?
I wish I could say it was something as cool as genetic algorithm or build order optimization. I've considered both of those, but no, I've still been working on the text-based adventure Strive for Power. I recently completed a set of bug fixes for the game. I'm hoping that it'll get published sometime soon, but maybe a week or so. We'll see when he gets around to it. But yeah, that's pretty much just what I've been up to for the last week. It's been hunting down all these little bugs in the code. I actually managed to find all of the ones I was looking for. I happened to stumble upon the last few.
Is there any similarities or stuff applicable to StarCraft bot development in that project?
Wouldn't say at a very close level. I mean, there's a fair amount of efficiency, but it's a fair amount more lenient since it's text-based, turn-based. So you don't have to worry about the constant build-up of activities that you get with a real-time application. But there is some critical points where you'll have to decide on how to handle lots of information that hits you all at once. Like the player will ask for a list of pictures to be available. And previously, the game would say, okay, let me go fetch the pictures now. And it would wait until the player asked for the pictures to go fetch them and process them. So you do tag matching and stuff like that on the pictures to get the best applicable picture. And so that would get bogged down because you could easily have 4,000 pictures and you could end up doing a regex search on each picture's tags and then judging the weights based on that and then computing the best picture. So I chose instead to do a slow loader on that. Actually haven't added it to in the bug fix. It's going to be down the line later on. I plan to add it as a mod to slow load the pictures in the background or to prepare these slowly over time so that they can be ready. And so it'll won't have fully loaded everything, but it will have the critical details, all the things that it needed to calculate. So it won't occupy as much memory, but it won't have to sit there and grind for a few seconds when the player may be expecting instant results.
And since you mentioned that this project is nearing release, will your next one be something related to StarCraft? Will we see a bot from you anytime soon?
Oh, that's a good question. If there was going to be a bot from me, I would be aiming for the end of year tournament at this point, I think. Because I suspect it would be at least 3 to 4 months of development left at this point. I've still got to spend probably at least a month and a half to finish up the sim to get that to a working point. Because I've got to be able to transfer data between the BW API and the sim easily, which the problem with that is that they used two different ways of structuring the data, because they were developed independently with two different interpretations of that data and how to deal with it, organize it basically, because the BW API tries to make it more packaged in a player-friendly way or programmer-friendly way, whereas the Brood War simulation based on OpenBW just aims to be thorough, and it's very raw. It has all the data. That it's pretty much you're looking at raw StarCraft in that way, but it's not always accessible. There are many details that you have to go through, jump through a lot of hoops to access, like getting the average speed of a unit, or even the per frame speed of a unit, is actually a fairly tricky task, because you pretty much have to create a pseudo unit based on your current unit, and then simulate that unit in order to get to trigger all of the sub steps in order to get that data, and you record the data as you go. So you have a simulation inside of a simulation that's essentially happening in order to get the data you want.
Well, I think StarCraft wasn't really meant originally to be used this way.
Yeah, quite so. It's a matter of adding those little things just to get those details that you might be interested in, be able to ask the simulation to send you those details, like, because there's a lot of interesting details that might be nice that the BW API doesn't let you see, like, what is the actual path that your unit's going to take. Like, you tell the unit to go from point A to point B, what path is actually going to take? Because the unit knows ahead of time, but it won't tell you. There's no display, no record, anything like that. So, but that is incredibly helpful, because you could then decide, do I like that path that it's going to take? Or does that path conflict with my other unit's paths? You could decide that all in advance if you knew that path. And so you could quite easily revise your commands to fix issues like that. It's not actually that difficult, and a lot of, I think, pathfinding issues could be resolved if we had access to that data from the API. But I think they decided the in-game players, the human players, wouldn't have access to that data, then the bots also shouldn't.
Yeah, it wouldn't make sense for humans. You couldn't do anything with that data as a human. But yeah. Speaking of BW API, I just saw today that, or was it yesterday? I don't know, that BW API 5 is progressing great. It is in a compilable state, and Nightcat showed some screenshots. He's bot kind of working under BW API 5, so I feel it is coming soon. I wonder what changes will be made and will it spark an outrage or not, but I think couldn't come soon enough.
I think we'll be able to adapt pretty quickly to any changes he's made to get it to work. Because it's, I mean, unless he's removed wholesale large portions of the API, just adjusting names and stuff like that can be handled quite quickly with just renaming stuff. As long as he states it outright, or if someone compiles the list of those, I think people can adapt quite quickly.
I assume there will be a changelog or something. Alright, and let's switch to our next topic, which is a big one and kind of an elephant in the room, which is CIG and the organization of that whole tournament. Recently, the CIG webpage just went offline, so there is no webpage and you can't really apply or can't really find even that CIG exists. I find this is a somewhat troublesome development, and it looks very amateurish in my eyes. What do you think about this whole affair? Because the CIG organizers have pulled some stuff which didn't really reflect well, and are you participating despite that, maybe?
Yeah, I'm one of those people participating despite that.
I'm not participating due to company policy, seeing the drama itself, even if the policy allows me to, I would hesitate before I enter.
They are kind of alienated their audience, which is not a big audience in the first place, and I think that's a very bad move. Most of these bots, well, all of StarCraft bots are labors of love, and people put a lot of unpaid time into it, and disrespecting that is not a wise move, and that do not do any good to your reputation. But regardless of that, I hope they get it together, and maybe next CIG will be a little bit better. Lita, what did you do to prepare, by the way? What new features or stuff? Was there anything specific?
Well, like I said in the beginning, I'm going to make sure that my bot can handle Dark Templars, Carriers, and Lurkers quite well, because it couldn't really do so well beforehand. Besides that, I'm also going for the 1-1-1 build in Terran versus Zerg, and I'm going to make sure that the tank lines work properly in Terran versus Terran.
Sounds good. Let's see what will come of it. Speaking of tournaments, AWIDE is the big next one in October. Will you be participating in that?
I most definitely will.
How will you and can you participate in that?
I cannot participate again due to company policy. I'm trying to see if I can have a paper submitted and accepted by them. But I was more talking about my bot cannot participate, but I might participate this conference personally. Yeah.
That sounds really good. I was considering it as well, but I do not live in the US, so it's a little bit harder for me.
I was curious, is it proprietary software, or is it just that you're as an employee, you can't participate in a programming competition?
Well, yeah, so it's more on the proprietary side, maybe a protectionism is a better word to describe this. They just wanted to make sure I do not leak anything regarding the machine learning or AI side of the things. And before I, you know, publish these in a paper, they're like in that I participate in any tournament with this or with the requirement of publishing the source code.
That's somewhat understandable from my point of view. We've been talking about this, but do you feel that more tournaments will be a good thing, maybe with more variety? And this open source, closed source thing is especially a pain point because as more and more companies enter this scene, this will be a pain point for them. And I somewhat can understand that. So maybe closed source tournaments is a way to go.
Well, I'm slightly inclined to the open source ones, to be honest, even though I cannot participate in the open source one. But I do think that I think the biggest reason for me to advocate for open source ones is that it just facilitates the research or progress in this area, especially the machine learning and AI stuff. Because from my personal experience, if I didn't start with Iron source code, I would be struggling with other things, for example, Unit Micro, and maybe trying to tell CV where to build a bunker or any building, for example. So with these things taken care of, which I think Igor already did a good job, then I can focus my attention in the areas that are more relevant to my work, which is machine learning or AI stuff. And in some sense, I benefit from Igor or Iron's code, and I would like to contribute back to the community to the best. As long as I comply with the company policy, I love to publish as many papers as possible, participating in any tournament, which my company allows me to. That's my personal opinion.
Looking forward to that paper, actually. Can we know what it is about, or is that confidential right now?
You can know. It's I'm not sure whether it will be accepted or not, because I need to submit, but it's about the build order selection, how to optimize your build order selection using some statistics knowledge.
Speaking of data, what kind of play data do you think, question to everyone, do you think is most beneficial for training your bots or gathering info about matches? Because on the Human versus AI League, I intend to collect as much data from the matches as I can. And if that can help fellow bot authors, all the better. A quick disclaimer, no personal data. I don't care about that. I don't want to sell you Wolf Cola or some shit. It's just research data.
I think, just from my personal thing experience, unit creation or just, I guess, balance, you would only need to know each specific unit, but just like, they had made this many SCVs at at this particular time frame. Like, so if you had a graph of unit distributions and stuff like that, that's a lot of data. But I think something like that can be quite useful for understanding the game, just as a rough overview, because you can get grasp build orders and how fights went, like the skill of the bots roughly, because you can tell what units were exchanged for what units. You can roughly grasp a lot of that information just from knowing how many of units were alive. You don't have to tell what they were doing or how they were used. So I think that would be one of my key, I mean, if you're collecting lots of data and you just needed to know what data to collect.
Oh yeah, because we don't have any kind of replay or play analyzer as of yet. Bots obviously collect data for themselves, but by no way we have uniformized measures that we could actually use. I know it's a little bit complex question, so take your time. The editing magic will take it away.
I think I agree a lot with Ankh regarding the, for example, units created. I think that ties to the opponent build order analysis. So you need to know what kind of builds the opponent used in the past. For example, if let's say a human just used four pool exclusively in the past, then you have every reason to believe that in this game he or she will also use four pool, and then you can prepare accordingly and go ahead and win the game. This is one part, and the other part aspect of the data I would like to collect is my own history, combat history versus this opponent. For example, I have five build orders, so how good, how well they did versus you know, each of the opponent's strategies in the past, and then so what strategy do I expect the opponent will use this game, and what counter strategies do I have based on my learned knowledge from the past. So that's kind of similar to how the human tournament or human competition scene works. So humans have memory, of course, and for example, if you pair with Flash, then you know, oh, he's probably go for a macro heavy style build, or if you go with then you should go for a, for example, full pool or some other counter strategy to that. So that's my thought.
Yeah, human play data is also something that could be valuable, although that has some concerns as well, because I believe that you have to have the right to your data. And especially if you're a pro player, you don't want others to see that. And that's completely a reasonable stance to take. Lito, what do you think?
One thing you can also do, it's what I'm doing, which is the flowcharting, where you can kind of infer what build order the opponent is going to get based on the buildings that you can see. And also based on, of course, what would be good to build afterwards. So based on that prediction model, you can already get a pretty decent picture of what an opponent is doing and what you can do to counter it without even having learned anything. But that can, of course, can be enhanced by such opponent modeling.
Speaking of human versus AI, a big news this week was that AlphaStar, the StarCraft 2 bot by DeepMind, will be put on the Blizzard Battle.net ladder and will play games anonymously, of course. And I think this is a very great news for multitude of reasons. This is something that everyone said will never happen. So this is either a very big dissonance in the public's perception, or the DeepMind guys changed their mind. Either way, I think it's great and gives some exposure of AIs to people. I know brood war AIs are marginal to that, but I feel there will be a ripple effect. What are your thoughts on all that I just said?
You go first, Ankh.
So I'm not exactly certain. I think it's okay. I mean, for the most part, just the participation of such a big name is going to draw attention to the scene. The fact that it's anonymous, though, it means I don't think there's much that we can gain from that. Like, if you know for certain, then you can say, oh, it's doing this or that. You can spectate and you can analyze. But if it's participating anonymously, that's reminds me more of the challenges where you're trying to decide whether it was a human playing the game or a bot playing the game. It's just like, who done it? You're basically asking.
There will be a lot of people who will claim that they just lost because they played Alpha Star. Pretty, pretty, pretty sure of it.
Yeah, so I don't think that, because it's anonymous, I don't think it does much, or it doesn't really have as much an impact. I think it benefits them more than it benefits everyone else. I mean, perhaps the final product will be something interesting, but it sounds more like a publicity announcement, because you can only have essentially good press, and you can't really have any bad press unless you don't have a follow-up announcement, and they don't come out and say, oh, we learned all this, we have created a great player, we have a tournament that's scheduled against a human player where we can show off everything that we learned. Unless they don't do that, and even then, it would probably just fade into the darkness on that. I don't see much coming of it, at least not of the current layout.
I myself think it will be interesting a little bit. As far as I know, they mentioned that they didn't do any machine learning with it, but it would still be interesting to see just how far such a bot would actually make it up in the ladder.
I don't think their goal is to be on the top of the ladder.
Yeah, I know, of course, but still be interesting to see just how far it can.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think I don't see any negative sides of them doing so. So on one end, I think it will attract more players because, I mean, if I were into the StarCraft 2 scene and stay competitive, then I would like to play Alpha Star because I like to see how good its micro is and what kind of a decision making it can do. And on the other hand, I think it will benefit the research, though, to fulfill some of the research tasks the team is hoping for, how to react to different human players, what kind of data we would collect, that kind of things. So I think in general, it is a good thing.
And let me be a little bit selfish here. I think it will draw some attention to the Schneier project as well, because that's basically another way to play against bots, and I hope I will get some popularity gain from that. That will be very marginal, but still. And about that, small announcements. First of all, currently we can only support 4.4 bots out of necessity. It turns out that making this works Making this work with earlier versions of BWAPI is not something that can be easily done. And at that point, it seems that it would be more work than it would bring benefit. So, dear bot authors, please update your bots to 4.4 so I can enable them on Snail.
Since BootRapi 5 is almost done, I'm just waiting for.
Yeah, that's a fair point, and of course we will support BWAPI 5. I don't know how hard it is to upgrade to 4.4. I think for most of the bots it's not big changes, but still.
Yeah, I can confirm it's really not. I think I did it maybe 15 or 20 minutes. Not trying to show off, but I think it's not that difficult. That's my.
Yeah, and when I said that I played your bot, how it was on Snail, that I'd like to stress. We have latency issues and like baby steps, but at this phase of the project, that's just expected, and it is a work in progress. So we must learn to walk before we can run. But the game was enjoyable, and well, I got defeated, so that part wasn't enjoyable. But other than that, it is usable now.
Well, I hope you can figure out how to beat it eventually, because it's not quite smart yet. So,
yeah, I'm not a good player, and that's not really my goal here. I was just testing if the bots run properly. And just before recording this podcast, Antiga was streaming Snail matches as well. So be sure to check that out. And speaking of streaming, I spoke with some people. Nothing is public yet, but I think there will be streams about people playing on Snail, like more popular streamers. But you will know about that.
I really look forward to watching the streamers playing against the.
Well, it's very likely that your bot will be featured, because currently we only support C++ and 4.4 bots, and there are only I think 8 or 9 bots that fit that criteria. One of the next steps is supporting Java bots, of course. Then we will see. And I hope that many authors will bring their bots up to 4.4, because why not? Do you maybe have any questions about the project?
A sort of small question. So in case, well, if BWAPI 5 is you know out, and will you support both BWAPI 4.4 and 5, or just the newest version?
Definitely both, because there should be a transition period. That was the plan with older bots as well, but we had some technical difficulties, and at this point the development time spent on solving those difficulties will be better spent elsewhere. So as I mentioned before, our budget is basically 2 pretzels. That means that development time is limited. I mean, this is not a company with actual revenue.
Yeah, you just need to find a way of hosting Google AdSense on your project.
Yeah, maybe I should just sell scammy items on the page or something.
I think ads are better. I think more views translate to more money. You don't have to worry about people thinking poorly of you. You're just hosting ads.
Yeah, I was just joking about that. And yeah, that is a possibility in the future, but obviously until it's released, it's not really a feasible one. Then that's the end of it. Thank you very much for being here, and I hope to see each and every one of you again in the podcast.
Okay, bye.
Oops, see you.
Thanks and bye.
If you are listening to the podcast on YouTube, please consider giving us a like and a subscribe. Thank you and goodbye.